Hey, everybody, happy Saturday. No advertisers. That's right, no advertisers today with my exclusive conversation with Donald Trump Jr. If you want to get behind our program and financially support our show, you could do that at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Kim from Knoxville, Tennessee. I want to thank James from Georgia. I want to thank Brad from Lawrence, Kansas. I want to thank Lori from Franklin, Tennessee. I want to thank Kimberly from Oklahoma. I want to thank Tyler from Kansas City. I want to thank Jennifer from Lexington for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get behind the important work we are doing to save the country and reach millions of people. My conversation with Don Jr. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Don, welcome back to the Charlie Kirk Show.
Good to be here, buddy.
So, Don, you're an avid hunter. Huh? When did you first go hunting?
You know, I didn't get into probably hunting a little bit till later in life, like end of high school type of stuff. I was always into sort of the outdoors a little bit. My grandfather was a big part of my life growing up. He's the guy that brought me to communist Czechoslovakia and all of that stuff. And it was really old school kind of not a lot of helicopter parenting going on. It's like there's
it's
the
very
woods.
Bohemian.
Yeah,
literally,
like quite literally. Yeah, there's the woods. I'll see you at dark. Taught me the basics of sort of, fishing and shooting air guns. You couldn't hunt over there, right? It was sort of an elitist thing, for those in the Communist Party. But you got me into the outdoors. I always probably disliked New York City. I was never a city guy. Even, when working there, it's, Friday afternoon. I was out of the city. I'd come back in Monday morning, never spent weekends there. Always got back into that. And so I wanted to get out of school. My parents were going through sort of a rough divorce. I was 12, 13 years old. My grandfather had just passed away. I went to boarding school in central Pennsylvania, and I was blessed to have a couple guys really take me under their wing there. There was an old school place, big feeder school, the academies, Navy and West Point, and rifle range on campus, trap and skeet off campus, sort of really got into all of those games. And one day, it was actually the dean of students said, hey, meet me in the parking lot tomorrow at 6 a.m. and dress warm. Took me on my first hunt. Today, that would go over a little bit differently.
What were you
they'd
hunting?
Be calling.
Yeah, seriously.
Just, yeah. Today, they'd be calling child services if someone
was
did
it
that.
A deer tag or just.
This was sort of my first pheasant hunt. He followed it up, taking me on opening day, Pennsylvania, the sort of deer season, sort of, like quintessential American hunting. And, I just fell in love with every aspect of it, read every book there was, took every opportunity I could do it. And now it's just a big part of my life.
Do you think that's missing a lot in the younger generation right now?
Oh,
being 100%. Outdoors and
all of it. I mean, kids today, they sit on a couch. It's everything's instant gratification. Everything's just so, fast paced. I mean, for me, the outdoors, and that's why I try to get my kids into it as well as others, right? If I can get a kid off a couch, away from a video game, into the woods, I mean, you learn patience, discipline, perseverance, responsibility. I mean, if you're playing with firearms, it's a real thing. Those lessons, you don't learn them anymore in our society. It's probably why you see what you see from so much of our youth that doesn't get exposed to that kind of stuff. So, I think it's sort of the ultimate lesson. And I think it's not just for, those pastimes. It's that so much of it translates into the real world and how you conduct yourself in society eventually.
Yeah. And I find that we're so addicted to our devices and
I'm as guilty as anyone.
Yeah. I mean, just nonstop. But there's something that happens when you go off the grid that's a true release.
Yeah.
You go hiking in the Yukon, right?
I mean, my idea of a vacation is just,
let's go backpack for
fully removed.
20
days. Drop me off in the Yukon with a rifle and I'll see you in 14 days. Backpack, no trails, no base camp,
no guide.
Yeah. Some places you have to go with a guide and other places I've just gone with, one or two friends and you are literally, there's no sort of out, right? There's no hey, we're going to go back and we can just stay in camp. You're carrying camp on your back, every day, 100-mile loops through, legitimate wilderness. And that's my happy place. The idea of a beach vacation is hell to me. sitting on a beach, like relaxing and doing that, like I would rather be at work.
So Don, you've been in one of the most, you know, pressure filled environments over the last 5 years. Do you think being able to get outdoors and disconnect from all of it has been one of the things that has kept this all together?
Oh, 100%. Like I said, you know, especially today with sort of the ease of access and, you know, your phone is a camera, it's a video, you got email, you got your text message, you got 50 different social media apps, you're churning content, you're trying to figure out, you know, what's good and what you can work with. I mean, for there, like, there's no cell service. You're 300 miles from the nearest road. You know, literally get dropped off on like a float plane on a river, and it's the ultimate decompression. So for me, it's just a great thing. I mean, I'll carry a small satellite phone that has, you know, one battery for like basically emergency calls. Like if it goes really wrong, maybe they can get you out.
If you break a leg, maybe.
Yeah, if, you know, something like that. But basically you're just incommunicado for 2 weeks. And that's when you see the social media blackouts, that's usually where I am. If I'm not posting, it's like that's where I'm at.
Do you think that there's something to this? I talked about with Jesse Waters. When you're in the wild, do you think it makes you naturally more conservative? You have to be self-reliant. You can't blame other people for your problems. Do you find that to be?
Yeah, I think 100%. I mean, I think if you look at, you know, so much of, you know, the guys that are doing that, you know, at a high level and a real level, where it's not just, you know, you see a lot of this in politics, right? Where, you know, guys show up to a hunt and they're big Second Amendment guys and they're big, you know, brand new shotgun, never been fired, fingers on the trigger, terrible trigger discipline, like all, and you're like, yeah, they're just faking it.
Yes.
But the guys that are really into it, the guys that, you know, are truly passionate about those kind of things, you know, they definitely lean that way. And it is because, like, you know, my idea of a fun time is being totally self-reliant.
Wait, that's a uniquely American thing, though. I mean, there's other countries that have that, but
I think so. You know, certainly, you know, in this country, it is unique. I think, you know, the difference between sort of American, you know, hunting or the outdoorsmanship is, you know, in America, it really sort of started off, it's more of a blue collar game, whereas in Europe it's for the elite,
super elite, right?
You know, it's very different. You know, when people, we must adapt the European model, it's like, well, you know, not everyone has that kind of money to go out and do that. That's why you know, I've even bucked so many of the sort of, you know, conservative trends as it relates to, you know, public land issues and these kind of, now so much of the political stuff, you know, and as it relates on it,
has been
weaponized and utilized that way. But the guys that are doing it real, you know, they get it, and they are I'd say vastly more conservative, meaning the guys that are doing the ultimate stuff.
Doing the most difficult types.
Yeah, the
of
most
hunts.
Difficult. You know, again, like, yeah, my thing, you know, if I can do one thing, it's like sheep hunting. And literally, you may see one animal in a 14-day period. You do a 100-mile loop with a 60-pound pack. No, it's not like you're hiking on a trail. It's not like walking through Yellowstone where, you know, it's nice and delineated. Like, you know, you're going, there is no trail. You're just in pristine wilderness, hundreds of miles away from, you know, the nearest town.
So walk us through what sheep hunting is, how it all works. It's just super curious about it.
A lot of walking, a lot of, you know, glassing. So you're just, you know, observing. So it takes, you know, incredible amount of patience. You got to pick out the sort of one thing. And I mean, I could show you some of the pictures. It's, you know, this is vast wilderness. You know, it's not like you're driving in and you hop out and you go for an afternoon hike.
Yeah.
I mean, then that's great too. I love doing that on the weekends too. If I'm going elk hunting out west or deer hunting, you know, wherever it may be. You know, but on those kind of trips, I mean, you're literally just in open wilderness, no support system, no trails, you know, everything is just bushwhacked.
Do you think it's time for conservatives to start to really take back this issue of public lands, the environment? You touched on this a little bit. What would that look like?
Well, I think the answer is yes. I mean, there's organizations out there that sort of talk about it a lot, but when you actually see what they're literally just funded, you know, democratic causes, and they're not really conservationists, right? The old kind of Theodore Roosevelt model of, you know, American wildlife, which is sort of, you know, hunting, the revenue generated from that preserves the fauna and the flora, you know, both, whether it be our national park system, whether it be our public lands. You know, now it's sort of been weaponized to preservationists. Now, they talk about these things, but they're not really pro-Second Amendment. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If they could have a single shot, that's sort of good enough for them.
What's the difference between those two?
There's a lot of, I mean, again, I think they've actually just tried to weaponize an issue, hijacking something that would probably be a conservative thing with, you know, great marketing names. It sounds like they're really for hunting.
Like Sierra Club or
whatever. They would rather actually have no one go in those lands, no one partake in these things. So the issue gets really complex. And, you know, there's some people trying to do good. But, you know, like all things these days, it sort of devolves into weaponized politics. And it's a little bit scary.
So part of this all, of course, involves the firearm issue. You come out very vocally against David Chipman. Is that his name?
Yes. Well, listen, Joe Biden, like all things that Biden has promised, you know, he's not going to be a radical, Charlie. He's a moderate. It's moderate Joe from Scranton.
Right.
He's not going to end American energy independence. Oh, day one. He's not going to be soft on Russia. Well, we'll give them a pipeline. We'll stop an arms package to Ukraine. You can't have a pipeline in America. You can't have those jobs, Charlie. You can't have the energy independence. You can't have the lower energy prices because of it. You know, the reality is everything that Joe Biden has done has been extreme. Joe Biden, he doesn't care if you have an AR-15 or AR-14, as Joe calls it. He is totally good with that.
AR-45 or whatever.
He called it an AR-14. That was, it's interesting. It was an M-14, but no AR-14 that I'm aware of. And if it existed, I would probably have one. But you see these things. And so now, like all things, he's not going to be a radical on the Second Amendment, yet he's pointing like a Bloomberg-type anti-gun lobbyist that worked for the anti-gun to lead the ATF, the person who decides, who gets what, who's running back, all of these things. You think that guy's going to be fair to people who are just trying to exercise their Second Amendment rights? You think if you're, into the suppressed stuff, you think you're going to speed up that process or make it impossible? I mean, this is a guy that's talked about bans on standard capacity magazines. This is a guy who said, the Secret Service, who protects the president of the United States, whether that's my father or Joe Biden, they don't really need weapons. They don't really need, On Chris Matthews' show, there's a clip. I think I put it up on social media. It's essentially what he said. Well, it's a little different. They haven't had to use it. So a guy that doesn't think that some of the highest trained law enforcement in the world doesn't need firearms, you think he's going to be fair and just to someone who wants to have a firearm to protect their family?
Wow.
Who may be recreational with it? So that's where we do have to get involved. Again, the media on every issue, we've seen this time and time again, right? Whether it's the energy thing, they will sell to the American public that Joe Biden's going to be a moderate because they know that's where the American public actually is. They won't tell you the truth. They'll cover it up. They'll push aside anything that would point in that direction, right? Like Hunter Biden laptop. It's Russian disinformation. The laptop from hell was Russian disinformation. And everyone told you that. Of course it wasn't.
Mm.
I wouldn't have that same benefit of the doubt.
I don't think
if it was my laptop that they would be trying to say that it's Russian disinformation or any other kind of disinformation. They would say it is the gospel and therefore will be weaponized against my political enemies. So, this is not someone who's a moderate on the Second Amendment. This is someone who hopes to abolish the Second Amendment, and he's going to be put in charge of the agency that decides those issues.
Yes.
So, that's where we have to step in. We have to, A, call out the nonsense. We have to bring those facts forward, and then we have to get active in actually calling our senators, right? I mean, you have, two senators, in Arizona, a very pro-Second Amendment state that are both Democrats.
Yes.
Now, one is clearly, a radical on the issue. And,
Mark Kelly. Yep.
Yeah, Mark Kelly's clearly an issue, a radical on the issue. But, his constituency has to vote for him again.
Very soon.
Very soon. And if he's going to vote for a radical. And, I don't mean someone who's just moderate, but, someone who worked for the radical anti-gun
under
lobby
Waco.
For years.
And,
was in charge of the Waco thing's a whole other mess.
It is a mess. Yeah.
This guy feels like, there's something wrong with him.
No,
it's not,
seriously,
there's a screw loose.
Yes.
But, again, if you're a radical leftist, it doesn't matter. They would never question whether he deserves to be there. They're like, perfect. He will further our cause. Therefore, it's great. We will pretend he's a moderate. He will not touch any of those things. He will be wonderful.
No, I'm laughing. It's like wanting to run the British Navy. It's like, what was your life experience? Well, I oversaw the Titanic. Oh, perfect.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You should be captain of all our ships. How about take over the fleet?
That's exactly
right. So you have Arizona. You have, a senator in New Hampshire that's, said that she was going to vote for Chipman. I mean, that's, live free or die, except for.
Yeah, and she's up.
Sununu
looks like a very formidable candidate up there.
That could be. So, if you're living in New Hampshire, and again, that's a state that's, one of the most pro-2A states in the country. Well, one of your senators is going to vote to confirm this clown.
Yeah. And Arizona has two, Sinema and Kelly.
I think Sinema's at least reasonable. Kelly's not going to be on the issue, but he should be made
aware
of it.
He's married to Gabby Giffords, who's like this whole anti-gun, gun confiscation.
Of course.
And there's two others, though.
Well, then you have Joe Manchin.
Which is probably priority number one.
In West Virginia, I'd say the Second Amendment's really strong. Like, when I go up and give a stump speech in West Virginia, I just talk about 2A. Because it's, it is a number one issue for his constituency. And then you have John Tester in Montana. Another state that's pretty pro-2A. And again, when it comes to certainly with Tester and with Manchin, I'm a hunter. I'm for the Second Amendment. Well, you either are or you aren't. But you can't say that you're for the Second Amendment while simultaneously voting to confirm this clown.
Yes.
Like, you can't do that. You got to pick one or the other. So, again, if they want to put someone in that's reasonable, to the ATF, That's the prerogative. That's what happens in elections, right? The elections have consequences. But if you're going to try to sell to the American people that this guy is not a radical when he's out there saying the things that he said, when he's worked for the people he's worked for, and we're going to pretend, you can't have sort of, let's call them red state Democrat senators that are going to pretend that this is not an issue, that it's not a problem for their constituency. And so, again, we can't do what we've done historically, which is just sit silently. Let's see, maybe they'll do the right thing. Call them. Call each and every one of them. Ask them where they're going to be on the issue. Highlight it for them. Because to me, it's one of the biggest confirmation issues that are out there, because it's not just, you know, high capacity magazines, even standard capacity magazines, which is what he said he'd want to go after, your AR-15, the other nonsense. It's literally everything. Your ability to defend yourself, the basic fundamental aspect of the Second Amendment, that is at stake with this guy. And, you know, we can sit back and turn the other cheek like we've done for the last 50 years and it's gotten us nothing, or we can actually get engaged and involved.
And ATF has an extraordinary amount of power.
Incredible. I mean, they will dictate, you know, so many of these rules and laws. You know, the background check stuff gets done through the FBI, and you've seen that's gone woke,
yep,
too. So who knows what happens there? But, you know, if you're into any of these things as it relates to the nuance, you've seen it, right? They try to bring up the pistol brace issue. Well, the ATF made a rule to say that this is what it is, and then millions of Americans abide by that rule, and they say, oh, huh. Well, we have a bunch of people that don't know anything about anything. We made a rule. We decided to do it. Millions of people spend millions of their hard-earned dollars to do this and to comply with the rules.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're going to change the rules.
Yes.
We're going to change that, and if you don't comply, you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that will be enforced upon us. Just like the rules are only enforced one way. You know, they want to go door to door with vaccines. Well, will guns be next? I imagine so. Maybe even more so than vaccines. And it's a scary situation when you watch sort of, you know, the rapid devolvement,
yes,
of what's going on, the rapid rise of sort of the tyrannical state in this country. I mean, we're not much different than all of these regimes that for years we would have said, that's terrible that you're, yes, doing that in Cuba or Venezuela. I'm like, have you looked in Washington yet?
That's right. Well, I laugh at these Republicans. They say, you know, we need internet freedom in Cuba. You know, internet freedom in America would be great.
I'd love it. You know, I'd love to be able to say what I think without being censored.
It's almost like we have a Cuban government.
But, no, but Charlie, it's a private company. They can,
right,
do what they,
yeah,
want. The White House will dictate to,
that's,
them,
right,
who is and is not in violation of information, who is or is not spreading misinformation. But I'd ask, you know, Jen Psaki, I'd love, Peter Ducey's the only one actually asking real questions in the White House president. The rest are sitting there like the lemmings they are. Oh, wonderful. You're going to decide? Well, Jen Psaki herself tweeted, the Hunter Biden laptop is Russian disinformation. Is she going to be thrown off those platforms for spreading that? How about Adam Full of Schiff? He spent 6 years, 5 years, whatever it is, talking about Russia collusion. And he's seen the evidence, but that, unless he has it, maybe he has to produce it. But he has not yet produced it, so he's been spreading disinformation. What about CNN or MSDNC? They spread disinformation about that. They spread disinformation and misinformation about myself, right? Donald Jr., he committed treason. He then perjured himself.
Death.
Yeah, minor thing, punishable by death, right? He's an agent of Russia. Now, Hunter Biden, millions from Russian oligarchs tied to human trafficking rings, prostitution rings in Eastern Europe. No problem. Billion from China investment. No problem. Those guys have the best return on investment on their money that they put into Hunter Biden than anyone could ever possibly imagine. But that's misinformation, even if it's, yeah, right there in front of your face. We don't get the same benefit of the doubt, Charlie.
Don, thanks for sitting down again. And
thank
how can, so contact our senators about David Shipman.
Contact about, you know, if you believe in the Second Amendment, you believe, yeah, in those basic rights, contact all of your senators anyway. But obviously the ones that you're going to have to focus on are going to be Arizona, you know, John Tester, Manchin, up in New Hampshire, because those are the ones that at least you're in a heavily,
yeah,
pro-2A state with Democrat senators that are going to be inclined to just go along, you know, make it known, you know, get aggressive on that issue. And again, I think we got to get aggressive on every issue. Donald Trump going out by himself and sort of leading the charge with everyone else just sort of watching in the
spectator
distance.
Spectator sport, no more.
That doesn't work. They can't cancel 150 million Americans. And if you look at sort of the American populace, as they are now realizing they've been lied to, that, you know, the information out there about whether it's the Bidens or anyone else about what the left's trying to do has been suppressed. I imagine it's probably a lot more than, yeah, 50%. Because there are going to be people that are going to be inherently liberal that are still going to believe in freedom of speech.
Totally.
That are still going to believe in basic rights. And those things are disappearing very quickly.
I agree. Don, thanks so much for joining us, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, do so at tpusa.com. God bless you guys. Speak to you soon.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.